Okay, then it starts getting into dream time. And what I've started to do in the last novel I wrote, which is called My Mother Demonology, is I've started to let my, and this is new for me, it's not appropriation, is I've started to let my narratives, I've started to work narratively, but what I've done is made, let my narratives be guided, be absolutely directed by my dreams. That is, I'll set up a narrative, either an appropriated text or, well, if it's autobiography, I regard it as an appropriated text. I'm either appropriating my own life or I'm appropriating another text. It's not much difference, it's just text, right? But, you know, it all has the same reality value, that is virtual reality. But what I'm letting things now happen is that as I dream the night that I'm writing whatever that text is, I let the narrative go the way of what I've dreamt. So I end up in very peculiar places. I mean, it's a very funny thing to do because it's a funny giving up of control. And one reason I'm working with dreams this way is I really got into it reading. I started reading this book when I was reading My Mother Demonology. Well, let me tell you the problem, and then I can tell you why I was reading the book. I got to a place in my writing where I couldn't find a site to write from. I felt very oppressed by my past history as a writer, what people expected of me, what people thought of my writing. I had often used the place of sex as a place that seemed a site to start at, and that was no longer possible, partly because of what's happened with AIDS, partly. I mean, I'm sure we all live in this world where sex is no longer this free place, you know, and I don't have to explain this, you know, partly of the sexism of the world, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So I was looking for a site to write from that I didn't feel that I just need this freedom. I don't know how to explain this word freedom, but I'll let that stay as a problem for the moment. And I started working with dreams, and it was right back to the surrealists at the moment when I started working with them that surprised me, the Breton, right? But then it became something else, just by chance, and I greatly trust chance. You know, I like working with that wonderful space between chance, that kind of time or chaos, and what we think is determined, knowable time, linear time. I was reading a book called Ecstasies by Carlo Ginzburg, who used to be a professor at UCLA. I don't know if he's still there. He was at the Getty Institute when I met him. And the book was purportedly about the Black Sabbath. What the book really is about, it's a marvelous book, is it has two structures. One is a negative content structure. It's about the structure of prejudice, and it goes from prejudice about lepers through anti-Semitism to sexism, especially prejudice about women being witches and where that started in the 12th and 13th centuries. The other side of the book is about the pagan tradition, right, which isn't just a female tradition, but I started reading this book, I suddenly got an idea of an alternate history being somewhat, but not absolutely not totally a woman's history that had to do with witchcraft, which I'd never been interested in before. So I started finding, you know, reading everything I could on witchcraft. And, you know, San Francisco's a wonderful place to live if you get interested in this stuff because you have witches all around you. So I started doing actual work with people on dreaming. Right, so that was what was lying. And what I was looking for was, I've always had this thing about language, feeling outside language, feeling, you know, having a real difficulty with language. I think partly being female, partly for other reasons, because this isn't just, you know, I can talk about this in terms of, the way Irigaray would put it would be the phallocentricism of the world. But I can also talk about it as someone called Karl Kraus back at, you know, before the turn of the century talked about how language is being manipulated. You know, it's how, and, you know, I'm sure you all know Walter Benjamin's thing about breath and trying to bring language back to breath, that in the beginning was the word and the word was God, which you also found in the beginning of the Rig Vedas. So, you know, there's all this stuff that came into, and the easiest way of saying it, rather than saying all the stuff that came into it, is I was trying to find what language, rather than having to deal with this language I've always felt outside of, how could I access language that was there? What languages were there to access? That says, for instance, very simply, when you dream, you don't make it up. You know, it's just there. There's not anything you can do about it. And that fascinates me, coming to a language that is there. Right? And there are other languages that way. I was asked to do a piece on bodybuilding, and I started blocking. I never block. I write too much, actually. So I was very fascinated. Why was I blocking? And I got very curious about languages, you know, that when athletes are involved in intense athletic activity, I don't think it's just bodybuilders. I happen to know about bodybuilding the best, so that's easiest for me. They go through a very intense language, but they can't say what that language is once they've stopped the activity. And I got very curious, what does that language look like? What is it? Right, the same thing with sexual language. What is the language that actually goes through, wherever language goes through, when you're going through things like orgasms, or orgasm if you're a guy or whatever? I mean, I don't know what it is to be a guy, so. But I got very interested in these, you know, languages to access, right? So, this immediately goes into dream, right? And I've been letting dreams run the narrative for this reason.